To gain visibility and control over your financials, inventory, HR, e-commerce, and more, take advantage of this special financing offer of no payments or interest for 6 months from NetSuite by Oracle. Go to netsuite.com/wallstreet. That's netsuite.com/wallstreet.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Tuesday, May 30th. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. Imagine your face was all you needed to check in at hotels, airports, even hospitals. Well, that reality isn't far off. In some cases, it already exists. And the CEO of Clear, a company that makes this technology, says there is more to come. She spoke with WSJ tech columnist Christopher Mims at this year's Future of Everything Festival about expanding the use of biometric verifications and balancing those plans with privacy concerns. On today's show, we'll have highlights from their conversation. But first, Theranos founder Elizabeth Holmes must report to federal prison today. She was convicted of defrauding investors at the defunct blood testing company and is expected to serve all of her 135-month sentence at the all-female minimum security prison camp in Bryan, Texas. Elon Musk's brain implant startup, Neuralink, has been approved to begin its first clinical trial on humans, according to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Neuralink is working on a device that will allow people to control computer interfaces with their brains. The device could help restore vision and enable people with severe disabilities to move and communicate. The company says it hasn't opened recruitment for its trial yet, but will soon. When it does, robot surgeons will thread brain signal recording wires into patients' brains. Neuralink has tested its implant technology on primates for several years. A whistleblower who provided evidence in a bribery case against Swedish telecommunications giant Ericsson has received a record payout. The $279 million award is the largest ever made by the Securities and Exchange Commission's Cash for Tips program. Ericsson reached a more than $1 billion settlement with U.S. authorities in 2019 over allegations it conspired to make illegal payments to win business in five countries, violating U.S. anti-bribery laws, according to people familiar with the matter. Spokesmen for both the SEC and Ericsson declined to comment. If you drive a Ford electric vehicle, you'll soon be able to charge your car at a Tesla charging station. The two companies struck a deal last week, giving Ford customers access to more than 12,000 Tesla fast charger locations in the U.S. and Canada, starting as early as 2024. The White House announced earlier this year that Tesla would open part of its proprietary supercharger network to others, which would qualify Tesla for a share of billions in federal funds to build a national EV charging network. Our reporter Ben Dummett explains what else Tesla, Ford, and the broader EV industry have to gain from this deal.
For Tesla, there's a number of benefits, one of which it broadens demands for its charging stations and shows that Tesla's having success convincing EV makers to adopt its charging technology. For Ford, the deal makes it easier for them to sell their electric vehicles, which could more generally help accelerate overall demand for these types of cars. The challenge for the EV industry in general is convincing customers that if they buy an electric vehicle, they'll be able to charge it while traveling with the same kind of convenience they now get driving their gas-guzzling cars. The Tesla deal helps address that challenge. Another issue for EV drivers, or potential EV drivers, is the lengthy time it can take to recharge a car. Fast chargers, which are at the center of this Tesla Ford deal, can actually reduce the amount of charge time by half.
Okay, after the break, a world where your identity can be verified by just scanning your face creates a lot of possibilities and a lot of privacy concerns. We'll find out more when we come back.
Business today looks nothing like it did yesterday. While it's more unpredictable, its possibilities are endless. Knowing how to turn unpredictability into an advantage is where ADP comes in. ADP uses data-driven insights to design HR solutions and help businesses of all sizes work better, smarter, so they can think beyond today and find even more success tomorrow. ADP. Always designing for HR, talent, time, payroll, people.
You might know Clear, the secure identity company, from the airport. It has those frustratingly short lines of people just scanning their faces and their eyes in a pod to confirm their identity, while the rest of us stand in what can feel like a never-ending security line. But the CEO of Clear, Karen Seidman-Becker, wants to take the company in a whole new direction. At this year's Wall Street Journal Future of Everything Festival, she spoke with our tech columnist Christopher Mims about her plans. Here are highlights from their conversation.
So, like, 5, 10 years from now, where am I actually going to use Clear?
Well, it's where you're using it today, right? So you're using it to check in at a hotel as opposed to going to the front
desk. So I'll just go in and they'll look at my face.
Yes.
I mean, a computer will look at my face. Well,
actually, the phone will look at your face. You'll do it within their app.
Okay.
Or you're doing it to replace the clipboard at a hospital as opposed to filling out all those forms.
So my actual medical records will be linked.
Yes, and your insurance card and your copay. Or you're using it to get into a sports stadium, or you're using it to buy a beer because you're over 21 and your credit card.
So and you're doing that now, right? Like there's NFL stadiums I can go to now and get in and buy a beer with my face.
Las Vegas, of course, is the right place to start that. But when you think about it, people have been carrying around wallets for decades, full of cards to prove who they are and what they have access to. And so our vision is to fuse those cards to your biometrics, your face, your fingerprint, your eyes, your voice. And because identity is foundational, and you start to see that, right? We could riff in every different area.
And to be clear, not just in the real world, but online, too. So you have this new thing where I can verify through my phone who I am for LinkedIn. I mean, where else could I use this online to verify I am who I say I am?
Well, let's talk about our partnership with LinkedIn for a minute. There was a recent report, 55% of the people said they lied on their resume. So it is a real problem. I just got back last night from LA from the Milken Conference, and there was a ton of conversation about talent and how hard it is to recruit talent and to retain talent. LinkedIn is the source of truth for that talent. Before you meet someone, you go on their LinkedIn. All the people I was meeting in LA, that is the source of truth. I wouldn't suggest that it's Wikipedia or something like that. So having it be accurate and having it be easy, why would you be re-verifying where you went to college every time? Like, that makes no sense.
So would this like prevent like a future like George Santos type scenario? Like if Congress bothered to check LinkedIn and they're like, okay.
I do believe, going back to 55% of the people lying on their resumes, that George Santos is not alone, and that would show that we have a real world problem that has real consequences.
So just to go back to your hotel example, because I really like that one and I could see that application happening in a lot of different places. I mean, could I eventually use this to, you know, buy things in a store?
Yes.
So I would like have Clear, it would be integrated with my phone somehow, and it would just be like the Amazon Go experience, I just walk out.
Absolutely. You know, we talked about the consumerization of biometrics and our vision of that starting in 2010. It was really only in the defense area, and we believed it was going to be consumerized. All these companies starting to engage with it would reflect that. When you go to CVS and you do self-checkout and you buy Sudafed, they stop you, and someone comes over and asks for your driver's license because you have to be over 18.
But Clear is going to make it much easier for me to buy all the Sudafed I want.
Not only will we, but we, oh, well, I don't know about mass Sudafed. But when you look at what is happening, online gaming and alcohol delivery and buying mass Sudafed, right? It's all founded in identity and something about you. In some places, it's your age. In some places, it might be your employment or your healthcare copay. And so absolutely, when you look at how many times you take out cards in your everyday life, that's identity.
So I feel like we're in a different era. You know, there was a time when the idea of biometrics sort of frightened people, and Apple and Samsung and others have done a lot to normalize that. But let's talk about like the privacy and the data part of this, because, you know, I always just kind of imagine like the anonymous Twitter critic when I want to go to like, what is the kind of the most common critique of your business model going to be? And I imagine them saying, hey, you know, you started out as a public-private partnership with the Department of Homeland Security. how do I trust you, and how do I know that this isn't just a big CIA op to funnel all of Americans' data to the NSA or something?
We started in the hardest place, aviation, where identity is paramount. We started as a partnership with the Department of Homeland Security as a qualified anti-terrorism technology. So privacy and data security was part of our ethos from day one and is part of our culture and part of the DNA of our company. I also think it's really important for all companies today. Everyone has data. So being really transparent about how you use the data, what do you do, purging the data, securing the data, and really bringing that trust to your consumers, it's their data.
But to be clear, any company that possesses data now, there is some tension between the needs of the individual for privacy and the needs of, say, law enforcement for data. So your Google, your Apple, they publish privacy reports every year. They say, these are the number of times where you handed over data, and, you know, probably a lot of them were justified. Like, there was some terrible crime that was in progress, and you know, somebody needed a warrant in order to get that data. You know, other companies are looser with it, right? Like, we saw a recent report that Twitter's been a lot looser with this, giving data to any government that asks for it. Do you have that kind of disclosure where you're like, this is how many times we've had to turn over data? Are you going to have to start creating that?
We have been very transparent, which is we do not sell or share data. You join CLEAR in order to have your data secured in exchange for frictionless experiences. Everything that we do is opt-in, and I think that is so important. And then when you do opt-in, we are telling you exactly the micro data that you would be sharing, for instance, with Avis in order to skip the checkout desk. We say you're sharing that you're over 25, you're sharing your, you know, credit card, whatever it is exactly that you're sharing.
Well, that's all the time we have, but okay. Thank you very much.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.